Will members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 12 members present this morning. Senator Kelly is excused from the call of the Senate today.
We have a quorum to do business. Would members please stand for the invocation by Major Neil Timpson of the Salvation Army?
I'm praying today a poem by John Gowans. You come disguised, but still I know it's you. Today your eyes are black, tomorrow blue. Your skin is sometimes yellow, sometimes brown. You wear a loincloth or a tattered gown. Your bony hand is held before your face, but I know you, Lord, in any case. You grin at me through leprous-eaten jaws, the twisted limbs, the bloated belly, yours. You ring the changes, Lord, but I see through. I know that every soul in need is you. Help us, Lord, to realize that those who come to us in need aren't just disruptions in our day, but you at our door. And Lord, bless these fine people today who will make decisions for this state. Give them the wisdom for the task. Amen.
Senator Ward, would you lead the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Hoffman?
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayers be spread out of the journal.
Without objection, so ordered. Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 114th legislative day.
Senator Taylor.
I was hoping we'd move faster. Move and ask unanimous consent the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Senator Ferguson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce to the body a guest page here today. His name is Robert Roble. Rob is currently a student attending his senior year at Homer High School. After graduating as valedictorian of his class next week, he'll be moving on to receive his Bachelor in Business Administration from Brown University. After this, Rob hopes to study for his master's at Harvard University. Rob has lived in Alaska for most of his life. After moving to Homer, Rob's interests emerged as hunting, fishing, and politics. He was elected the president of the high school student council and governor of the boys' state. He will be serving on the offices of Senator Stevens in the month of June, and Rob's in Juneau to testify on education concerns. So please help me welcome him to the Senate.
Senator Green.
Couple who are visiting here from Madison, Wisconsin. They're with Key Travel Agency, and Cheryl and Lyle Schrader, if you would stand and help me welcome them to Juneau.
Further guests for introduction. Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before she leaves town with her father to head back to Anchorage, I wanted to take this opportunity to introduce both Mike Williams, Tate's father, and also Tate Hannah Pierce Williams, who has kept me going all session. Now that she's three, she's suddenly shy.
Further guests for introduction. Seeing no further guests, that brings us down to messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the House.
The House has passed and returned Senate Joint Resolution Number 25, supporting enhancement of visitor access to Denali National Park and Preserve. Senate Bill Number 175, relating to revenue bonds issued by ADA for intertides between Healy and Fairbanks, between Anchorage and Kenai Peninsula. These bills have been referred for enrollment. The House has concurred in the Senate Amendments 2, Senate CS for House Bill Number 6, Finance MS, relating to minors and amending laws relating to disclosure of information relating to certain minors. House Bill Number 18, amended Senate, extending to certain partnerships and corporations a 10% procurement preference currently given to certain sole proprietorships who are Alaska bidders and owned by persons with disabilities. Those are all the messages from the House this morning.
Communication.
There are no communications.
Report to Standing Committee.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 25, relating to authorizing the Department of Corrections to provide an automated victim notification and prisoner information system. Recommends it be replaced with Finance Committee substitute new title. Signed dues passed. Senator Pierce co-chair. Senators Phillips, Parnell, Adams, Tarkas, and Donnelly. Senator Sharp signed no recommendation. Zero on fiscal loan attached. Senate Bill 25 passed. No further referral.
Rules.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 139, State Aid to Volunteer Fire Departments. Recommends the Community Regional Affairs Committee substitute. Signed, you pass. Senators Pearson, Sharp, co-chair. Senators Phillips and Torgerson. Senators Parnell, Adams, and Donnelly signed no recommendation. Zero on fiscal loan attached. Senate Bill number 139 has no further referral.
Rule.
Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill number 142, Information of and Taxation in Regional Educational Attendance Areas. Signed, you pass. Senator Wilkin, chair. Senator Green signed no recommendation. Senator Lehman, zero on fiscal loan attached. Senate Bill number 142 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Bill 158, attendance at a public school on a part-time basis. Signed, no recommendation. Senator Wilkins, chair. Signed, you pass. Senators Ward, Lehman, and Green. Previous House Senate fiscal note. House Bill 158 has no further referral.
Rule.
Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill 250, Oil and Gas, establishing a North Slope Gas Commercialization Team to develop recommendations regarding a North Slope Gas project. Signed, no recommendation. Senators Pearson, Sharp, co-chair. Senators Adams and Donnelly. Signed, due pass. Senator Phillips, Parnell, and Torgerson. Previous House Zero Fiscal Note. CSHB 250 Oil and Gas has no further referral.
Rule.
Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Bill 256 amended, calculation of the default rate for purposes of the student loan program. Signed, due pass. Senator Wilkins, chair. Senators Ward and Green. Senator Lehman signed no recommendation. Previous House Zero Fiscal Note. House Bill number 256 amended has no further referral.
Rule.
Transportation Committee considered House Joint Resolution number 27. Requesting the Federal Aviation Administration to grant exemptions from the commuter rule. Recommends it be replaced with the Senate CS. Signed, due pass. Senator Ward, chair. Senators Halford, Green. Signed, no recommendation. Senator Wilkin, Lehman. Zero fiscal notes attached. House Joint Resolution number 27 has no further referral.
Rule.
Health, Education, Social Services Committee considered House Joint Resolution number 29, supporting an increase in federal funding for prostate cancer research. Signed, due pass. Senator Wilkin, chair. Senators Ward, Lehman, and Green. Previous House Zero Fiscal Note. House Joint Resolution number 29 has no further referral.
Rule.
Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Concurrent Resolution number 18, declaring 1997 to be observed as the 80th anniversary of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Signed, due pass. Senator Wilkin, chair. Senators Ward, Lehman, and Green. Previous House Zero Fiscal Note. House Concurrent Resolution number 18 has no further referral.
Rules.
Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 130. Amending the retirement incentive programs for municipalities and school districts. Signed, replacement in the calendar. Senator Lehman, chair. Senators Duncan and Taylor. Rules Committee considered CS for House Bill number 153, Finance, eligibility of aliens for state public assistance. Signed, replacement in the calendar. Senator Lehman, chair. Senators Duncan, Taylor, Miller, and Torgerson. Rules Committee considered CS House Joint Resolution number 14, Rules, American Land Sovereignty Protection Act. Senate Bill number 162, Payment of Minimum Wages to Tip Employees. Signed to do pass and calendar. Senator Lehman, chair. Signed to calendar. Senator Taylor, Miller, and Torgerson. Senator Duncan signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered House Joint Resolution number 34, proposed regulations of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. CS for House Bill number 151, Resources Amended Big Game Guides. Signed for placement in the calendar and due pass. Senator Lehman, chair. Signed to calendar. Senators Duncan, Taylor, Miller, and Torgerson. These bills and resolutions appear on today's calendar. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committees.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills. Senate will stand in need. I'll come back to order. We're still under the introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 198 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, an act related to partnerships, amending rules 25C, 79, and 82, Alaska rules of civil procedure, and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 130 by Senator Duncan, an act amending the retirement incentive programs for municipalities and school districts and providing for an effective date. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill. Signed to pass, Senator Mackey chair, Senators Hoffman. No recommendations, Senators Wilkin, Phillips, and Donnelly. Finance waive referral. Rules recommends calendar. Sign of replacement in the calendar. Senator Lehman chair, Senators Duncan and Taylor. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor?
We ask unanimous consent Senate Bill 130 be considered a gross, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senate Bill number 130, an act amending the retirement incentive programs for municipalities and school districts and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, question before the body, shall Senate Bill 130 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, Senate Bill 130 has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, effective date?
We ask unanimous consent to vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Donnelly. Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. Senator Taylor.
We would ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 162 be moved to the bottom of today's calendar.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for House Bill number 151, Resources, amended by the House Resources Committee, an act related to personal hunting of big game by big game guides while clients are in the field. Two activities of transporters in the field to use area registration for portions of additional guide use areas by registered guides to oral examinations for a registered guide license or a guide game management union certification and to eligibility for a big game guide license, game management unit certifications, or a transporter license. Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends the Senate CS, signed to pass, Senator Halford, Chair, Senators Taylor, Lehman, and Green. Rules recommends calendar, signing for placement in the calendar and due pass, Senator Lehman. Signed for calendar and Senators Duncan, Taylor, Miller, and Torgerson. There is a resource, the Senate CS.
Senator Hufford.
I'm going to ask unanimous consent for the resource
CS. Without objection, so ordered.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 151 Resources by the Senate Resources Committee, and I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
I'm going to ask unanimous consent Senate Committee substitute House Bill 151 Resources be considering growth to death, third reading, and ready for the final pass.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 151 Resources, an act related to personal hunting of big game by big game guides while clients are in the field to activities of transporters in the field to use area registration for portions of additional guide use areas by registered guides to oral examinations for a registered guide license or a game management unit certification and to eligibility for big game guide licenses, game management unit certifications, or a transporter license.
Is there a debate? Senator Lincoln.
Committee, we discussed on page 1, line 11, the words that is now reads specific language disability. And there was some discussion in the committee whether when we changed that from, I think it was a reading disability previously, whether this is the term that is used in our statutes and is understandable now when we say that the department shall provide for administration of an oral examination if an applicant experiences a specific language disability. So I'd like to hear a response to that.
Senator Green.
Mr. President, I would like to hear the amendment. And the language who suffers from a reading disability is that's probably not the current or proper way to refer to someone who has trouble with language. There is currently and recently there have been specific language disabilities which refer to people who have trouble reading or writing or understanding language, period. And we were trying to find a phrase that most adequately expressed that need. The thing that dropped from the original bill was cannot read English. And I would say if that needs to be retained, that might need to be returned. But if we're referring to someone who has experiences trouble reading, either the specific language disability would cover that probably more appropriately.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, question before the body. Shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 151, Resources, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 151, Resources, has passed the Senate.
C is for House Bill 153, Finance, by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to the eligibility of aliens for state public assistance and medical assistance programs affected by federal welfare reform legislation, providing for an effective date. Judiciary Committee considered the bill, signed no recommendation, Senator Taylor Chair, signing due pass, Senators Miller, Pearson, Ellis. Finance Committee considered the bill, signed due pass, Senator Sharp and Pierce co-chairs, Senators Phillips, Parnell, Adams, and Torkelson. Rules recommends calendar, signing for placement of the calendar, Senator Lehman Chair, Senators Duncan, Taylor, Miller, and Torkelson. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
I'm going to ask unanimous consent to be substituted House Bill 153, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS House Bill 153, Finance, an act relating to the eligibility of aliens for state public assistance and medical assistance programs affected by federal welfare reform legislation, providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, question before the body, shall Committee Substitute for House Bill 153, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, Committee Substitute for House Bill 153, Finance, has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, effective date.
Moving to ask unanimous consent, the vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for Senate Bill Number 107, Finance, amended and making, amending, and repealing capital and other appropriations, making appropriation to capitalize funds, providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, question before the body. Shall Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 107, Finance, amended, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 107, Finance, amended, has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor, effective date?
Unanimous consent that the effective date clauses within House Bill 107, Finance, that the vote on those clauses be... I'll start over. Moving to ask unanimous consent that the vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clauses within 107.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 145, Finance, amended, an act related to certification of teachers and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Senator Duncan. The Senate will stand adjourned. Back to order. Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, question before the Senate. Shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 145, Finance? Senator Parnell, excuse me.
You're moving too fast. Just moving to ask unanimous consent that I be excused from voting on this measure as a member of my family as a teacher and will be impacted by this vote.
There is objection, Senator. You have to
Thank
vote.
You.
Any other? Seeing no other. Debate. Seeing no debate. Question before the body. Senator Mackey. Object. Senator, you have to vote. Senator Lincoln.
Well, I guess I
There is objection, Senator. You have to vote. Is there any others?
I'll fire back to my bill.
Seeing no other debate, question before the body, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 145, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 145, Finance, has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor.
I'm going to ask unanimous consent to vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill, or House Bill 145.
Notice of reconsideration on House Bill 145 has been given.
CS for House Bill number 146, Finance, an act relating to competency testing requirements for secondary students and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Seeing no debate, question before the body. Shall Committee Substitute for House Bill 146, Finance, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, Committee Substitute for House Bill 146, Finance, has passed the Senate. Senator Taylor.
I ask unanimous consent that the vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I'll serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 146.
Notice of reconsideration on House Bill 146 has been given. Senator Mackey.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent I be shown as co-sponsor on Senate Bill 130.
Is there objection? Hearing none. Senator, you will be shown as co-sponsor of Senate Bill 130.
CS for House Bill number...
Senator Taylor, I believe, had the same motion for Senate Bill 130. Next item. I think we got one.
CS for House Bill number 147 has amended an act relating to the expenses of housing non-resident charter school students relating to authorizing charter school programs to provide domiciliary and other services to non-resident charter school students relating to duties of the State Board of Education and relating to the establishment of state boarding schools.
Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall Committee Substitute for House Bill 147 has amended, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 13 yeas to 6 nays, Committee Substitute for House Bill 147 has amended and passed the Senate.
CS for House Trent Resolution Number 14 rules by the House Rules Committee relating to supporting the American Land Sovereignty Protection Act. Resources Committee considered the resolution signing DuPass Centers Halford, Lehman, Green, and Taylor. Rules recommends calendar signing to Calendar and DuPass Center Lehman Chair, signing to Calendar Centers Torgerson, Miller, and Taylor. Senator Duncan signed no recommendation. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
I ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute House Joint Resolution 14 rules be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
CS for House Joint Resolution Number 14 rules relating to supporting the American Land Sovereignty Protection Act.
Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question. Senator Mackey.
Never mind.
Is there debate? Seeing no debate, question before the body. Shall Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 14 rules pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 14 rules pass the Senate. Senator Donald.
Stand at ease.
Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come to order. Senator Donnelly.
Consideration of House Bill 83.
The reconsideration of House Bill 83 has been brought up at this time.
CSHB 83, State Affairs relating to regulation of commercial vehicles.
Is there a debate? Senator Donnelly. Senate will stand at ease. We'll come back to order. Senator Lincoln, would you remove
I will remove my objection. Or, excuse me, my call.
The call has been removed. Senator Donnelly, you have the floor.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent we serve the second reading for purposes of specific amendment number 1 under HB 83.
Without objection, we're back in second reading. Senator Donnelly.
I move amendment number one.
Objection. There is objection.
Mr. President, I've checked with the sponsor of this legislation and cleared this amendment with him. And I also checked with the Alaska Trucking Association, and they have no objection to this language also. What this language would be add a requirement that commercial motor vehicles have some proof of insurance with them as they're being operated, and that there would be information exchanged at the time of an accident that would be on that card, and it would indicate either a local or a toll-free telephone number where the anybody who's in an accident with that commercial vehicle could get information about regarding the insurance that's on that commercial vehicle. It's a real reasonable proposal. Current law requires that you exchange this information within 48 hours, but it seems like it's a very reasonable thing. And like I said, the Alaska Truckers Association did not oppose this. Mr. Dillon called around and polled his board of directors, and they said, yeah, this is appropriate that commercial vehicles carry this information with them so that they're in an accident. The people who are in the accident with them could at least know who to call to begin the process to begin a claim.
Senator Parnell.
Through the chair, Mr. President, I agree that that's okay and responsible to require them to carry proof of insurance, but there's also a provision in there at line 9 that requires them to have the insurer contact the other person involved in the accident within 48 hours. I'd like to have a comment on that, because I'm not sure whether anybody can ensure that their insurer is going to place a call within 48 hours, since we're talking about two different companies. Are there current obligations in statute like that? And if so, I'm fine with the amendment, but I just wanted some comment on that particular requirement.
Senator Donnelly.
I understand there is a statutory obligation for the insurers of people in accidents to contact the people that are in accidents. I think it's it might be 72 hours currently that they have, but they do have to do it. If they don't do it, it's a violation of the insurance code by the insurer. It's not the fault of the person who is insured. It's a mistake by the insurance company.
Senator Parnell.
Mr. President, I think the amendment makes this the fault of the commercial truck driver. I mean, makes it the fault of the insured here, since they're given an affirmative obligation to have the insurer contact the other person. I don't think the obligation is just on the insurer by statute. Now we're also placing the duty on the insured.
Senator Donnelly.
Well, I think that compliance here is just that the insured notifies the insurance company of the accident, and I think that action alone is all that's necessary for the insurer to now notify the other parties in the accident. And then once they've done that, I mean, here there should be an affirmative obligation by the vehicle in the accident to notify its insurance company that this has happened, and then that puts the burden on the insurance company to contact the other parties in the accident.
Senator Mackey.
Mr. President, just reading that, it says here, though, however, the member from the Hillside in Anchorage says that the individual will have the insurer contact them rather than contact the insurance company. I think that was what the point was. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't necessarily have a problem with the amendment. What I was wondering is just, does this, dealing with insurance, does that fit under the title? Does just the word regulation allow for dealing with insurance to fit under the title under the single subject rule on this bill, or would we need to do a resolution?
Senator Donald.
It only applies, the bill applies to commercial vehicles, the regulation of commercial vehicles, and the amendment only applies to commercial vehicles. And the drafters had no problem with it, and they would have given me a memo saying it wouldn't fit under the title without a title change if they did, and there was no, as you see, it was drafted by our legal department.
Senator Parnell.
Mr. President, Mr. Brief at ease.
Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come to order.
Yeah.
Is there further debate on amendment number one? Senator Donnelly.
President, to clarify that, if I could just move an amendment to the amendment, that on line 8, beginning with the word and, which is the last word in that sentence, delete the language down to line 10 after the words 48 hours. So it would delete the words, and unless the person operating the commercial vehicle is self-insured, have the insured contact the other person involved in the accident within 48 hours. That would leave the requirement that they have some proof of insurance with the vehicle that's being operated, which my understanding is it is an industry standard, but just that apparently some people aren't doing all the time.
Does everyone understand the amendment to the amendment?
It would delete the words beginning on line 8, the last word, and unless the person operating the commercial vehicle is self-insured, have the insurer contact the other person involved in the accident within 48 hours.
Okay. From my understanding, Senator Donnelly, that your amendment to the amendment would delete the last word on line 8, which is the word and, delete all of sentence 9, and delete sentence 10 up through the words 48 hours.
That's correct.
Does everyone understand the amendment to the amendment? Is there objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing no objection, the amendment to the amendment has been adopted. Is there further objection to amendment number 1 as amended? Hearing none, amendment number 1 as amended has been adopted. We are back in third reading on House Bill 83. Is there a debate? Let the board catch up here. Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall committee substitute for House Bill 83, State Affairs, amended Senate, pass the Senate on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 17 yeas to 1 nay, committee substitute for House Bill 83, State Affairs, amended Senate, has passed the Senate on reconsideration. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent to vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Mackey.
Bring up reconsideration of House Bill 35.
Reconsideration of House Bill 35 has been brought up at this time.
House Bill number 35, extending the termination date of the Alaska Regional Economic Assistance Program and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Seeing no debate. Senator Halford.
How much is in the budget for these next year?
Senator Pierce.
Trying to remember. I know that the funding source is ADA, and it is a mixture of it's ADA receipts, and I will have to check for sure, but it's not more than $600,000, and I think it's quite a bit less than that. I think $600,000 is their total funding, comes through ADA, and I'm not sure that ADA actually pays the full $600,000. I can check that, but I just don't remember. But it's not general funds. No, not in front of me.
Further debate. Senator Sharp.
My recollection is that there's 11 certified artists in the state. They're authorized 12, there's only 11. At the current time, they're around 55,000 each, I think.
Further debate. Seeing no further debate, question before the body, shall House Bill 35 pass the Senate on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 18 yeas to 0 nays, House Bill 35 has passed the Senate on reconsideration. Senator Taylor?
Move and ask unanimous consent. Vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Duncan.
I give notice of reconsideration on Committee Substitute House Joint Resolution 14.
The notice of reconsideration has been given on House Joint Resolution number 14.
House Joint Resolution number 34 by the House Special Committee on Fisheries relating to proposed regulations of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council creating a new discriminatory halibut fishery in Alaska. Resources Committee considered the resolution signed to pass. Senator Halford Chair, Senator Taylor Lehman Green. Rules recommends calendar signing for placement in the calendar and due pass. Senator Lehman, signing to calendar. Senators Duncan, Taylor, Chairperson, and Miller. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
unanimous consent, House Joint Resolution Number 34 be considered a gross advance third reading and placed on final passage.
Without objection, it's ordered. There is objection. Debate? Seeing no debate, question before the body. Shall House Joint Resolution advance from second to third reading on the same legislative day? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 4 nays, House Joint Resolution Number 34 has failed to advance on the same legislative day. It will appear in third reading on tomorrow's calendar. No, we could do citations first.
Honoring the wrestlers, honoring Pete Hefner, honoring John Walcott, honoring Tony McCormick, honoring Sam Pekovich, honoring Evelyn Monson, honoring Cheater Readers, honoring Bernard Edwards, honoring Native Youth Olympians, in memoriam Lynn Campbell, in memoriam Marietta Willems, in memoriam Brian Mack McManus, in memoriam Bill Nix, in memoriam Matt Sherrard.
Mayor Taylor.
Moving to ask unanimous consent, citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, so ordered. Mayor Taylor.
I will, with permission of the body, move and ask unanimous consent to take up as a special order of business at this time citation honoring Charles Taylor, Master Mechanic of Southeast Alaska.
Without objection, so ordered. Mayor Taylor.
I would move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, so ordered. We have the next item on today's calendar, I believe, is Senate Bill 162. Senator Taylor.
I ask unanimous consent Senate Bill 162 be moved in second reading and held there for tomorrow's calendar.
Without objection, so ordered. That brings us down to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the body? Senator Hopper.
Notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 130.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on Senate Bill 130. Further unfinished business. At this time, under unfinished business, I would like to add a additional referral to House Bill 11, driver's licenses requirements for minors. I'd like at this time to give a judiciary referral to House Bill 11. Further unfinished business. Senator Phillips.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be removed as a co-sponsor for SJR 28.
SJR 28, is there objection to Senator Phillips removing his name? Seeing no objection, Senator Phillips has removed his name from SJR 28. Further unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Hess this morning is in recess at the call of chair. We'd like to meet today at 12:45, and we will finish our work on Senate Bill 182 and Senate Bill 193. 12:45 in the Butrovich room. Should take about 15 minutes. Thank you.
Further announcements. Senator Taylor. Senator Sanity. Further announcements. Senator Sharp.
Mr. President, I apologize to members of the Finance Committee. I misspoke this morning. We will have a 5 o'clock meeting tonight for two bills to try to clear the deck a little bit. There will be SB 154, Child Support and Paternity, which is they claim is required to do something with the revised federal laws. We'll hear that, and we'll also hear Tenet will be here, SB 177, International Trade and Business Endowment. That'll allow us to start tomorrow at 8:30 with the bills we didn't get out today.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you. There is a scheduled conference committee meeting at 3:30 this afternoon, but whether or not we get there is dependent upon the House schedule. So it's set for 3:30, and actually we're down to the point of doing the final closeout. So I would suggest if members care about keeping track of us, they just keep checking back with the Finance Secretary.
Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, immediately upon adjournment, the Senate Rules Committee will meet for purposes of calendaring HCR 18, the 80th year anniversary of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, House Bill 158 regarding part-time attendance at public schools, House Bill 250, the North Slope gas commercialization team. You gotta watch that. That wasn't as bad as the last time. Senate Bill 139, aid to volunteer fire departments. Senate Bill 25, telephone
Victim Notification System, House Bill 246, the George Parker Bridge, Senate Bill 192, Maintenance and Repair of State Vessels, and H.J.R. 27, the FAA Commuter Rule. And at 1 o'clock, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet to take up House Bill 207 and regarding Employer Drug Testing Program and House Bill 266, Limited Liability Companies.
Further announcements. Special orders. Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like permission of the body to speak about the three families in Alaska under special orders.
Without objection, Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, day before yesterday, we heard comments on the floor under special orders regarding the capital budget and the governor's news release that he had in regards to that. And while we could have spent hours debating just who and what areas have gotten more or less money, we really need to realize that it's not just the size of the budget, but also the shape of the budget. What are the priorities spending across the state of Alaska to the three families in Alaska, the rural family, the Bush family, and the urban family? And the needs, as I have stated on this floor, are many, many times much different. We have to realize that that dollar that is spent to the family in urban Alaska is not the same dollar that is spent in rural Bush, Alaska. A 2x6 sack of cement, building supplies, heating equipment costs much more in rural Bush, Alaska than it does in urban Alaska. The transportation to get it there, the labor that is much more expensive of getting the contractors out there, housing those contractors when they're out there in the field. That also adds up to what that dollar means to rural Bush, Alaska. It's more like $3, $4 for the $1 that is spent in urban Alaska. We also have to look at what it costs for that 1 mile of road in the family, the urban family, versus what that one mile of road would cost in Bush or rural Alaska. I have had members tell me that they cannot support spending state dollars in rural Alaska when so much of the population, half of the population, is in Anchorage. And a great number are in Fairbanks. So we can't justify spending out there when the communities are small. Well, Mr. President, I would suggest that we need to look at those three families. We need to think about those three families. And we need to look at, again, where our resources coming from, how we're getting that money to spend the dollars that's needed in our state for the vital services that we do provide. We also need to look that for rural Bush, Alaska, the numbers that are given to us or were given to us 2 days ago, there's a huge amount that comes from federal dollars for rural Bush family areas. What's important is that the projects and programs that better the lives of Alaskans and provide for a good future are part of budgets that we pass in this body, not saying that District R gets an increase of $5 million and the district that has half of this population has a decrease of $2 million. For rural Alaska, these dollars means economic development. It helps with the welfare to work provisions, health, safety projects, educational opportunities, affordable energy. And when we look at what the governor sent out on his legislative alert that was alluded to, well, we just passed the capital budget, Mr. President, and I don't see anything on that list that the governor had as an alert that was removed because of our capital budget. I think what he had listed for the reduction on marketing the AYK chum salmon, the money for public radio and television, the cut to the Alaska Native Heritage Center, the low-income weatherization reduction, the cut for rural safe water and sewer systems, the Head Start facilities cuts, rural economic development grants. So I cannot find anything on here that I would find fault with that the governor put out on his press release. We didn't correct any of these things. And he was simply saying to that those two families that we have, the rural bush families, that these are proposed cuts, that if you are concerned about them, let your legislators know. And those cuts did take place. When we look at the reduction of the rural economic development grants, we look at the lack of funding for the schools to get started, the charter schools. Opportunity that we miss on training our young people with the skills that they need to be a part of our workforce here and to be productive citizens in this state. We really miss opportunities rather than saying you have a dollar more than I do. We need to look at our whole three families of Alaska and what's good for all of our families. These programs and projects that are for rural bush Alaska that has been referenced, those are the ones that when we say that the capital budget, the operating budget, does not properly address those needs. Those are some of the issues that we're talking about. There are certainly other areas where we see this as well. Our school system, statewide needs, the extensive construction and maintenance needs. But we passed a piece of legislation that only addresses needs in larger communities. It is not a wonder, then, when folks, the other two families that we talk about, the rural bush family, has a question about, what about us? What about our educational needs for our children? It's a broad scope of revenues, projects, spending statewide, along with a multitude of other factors that we need to be concerned with when we look at who are the winners and who are the losers when it comes to overall government spending in the state of Alaska. Mr. President, when we hear we can't argue with the facts that this increases the money to rural districts, again, it goes back to how does that dollar get stretched? And I would suggest to you that those increases, which are needed out there. But when you look at an overall, the plan, what is the plan to address these needs throughout our state? You all have said that there is a plan. You have a five-year plan. What is the plan for the three families where we don't have this argument about the haves getting more and the haves not getting less? We need to look at a healthy family for every corner of the state of Alaska. I appreciate the time that I've been able to respond to this. It has been bothering me that I had not had a response to it. There are people that are confused out there. When the statements were made a couple days ago, my phone's been ringing, and I just want it clear that we all should be working toward the common goal of rural family, bush family, urban family, and that we not divide ourselves in this chamber of the haves and have-nots. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to request the privilege of the floor to speak on the same subject.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had not intended to speak on this, but in light of the comments that were just made, I do feel that I'd like to make a response, and I mean no disrespect to the Senator from Ramport. I know she's very true to what she believes. However, I too represent a rural district in this state, and I was a part of the process. I was allowed to participate in the process and bring my concerns to the Finance Committee, like every member in here has that ability. I just want to say that I don't share the same feeling that was projected, that all of the cuts in this budget came from the rural areas of the state. What I believe that our Finance Committee was faced with was having a budget of approximately $150 million worth of projects promised and $100 million worth of ability to fund. And it's been no secret to me or to the governor or to the majority or the minority or anyone that the majority's long-range budget plan called for $100 million general fund capital budget. And so I believe the senator from Fairbanks, who is the co-chair that headed up this particular effort, had a monumental task to begin with in how to reduce that and how to try to be fair about the process and be concerned about equity. And certainly I voiced my concerns as a senator from a rural area of the state, that and I don't see the same result. As a matter of fact, I failed to see one area of the budget, either in water and sewer projects or school projects or any other projects that are DEC projects or things that were brought forth in the governor's budget, that was deviated from. And I know that there are a number of very worthwhile projects. We had quite a long debate yesterday about one on this floor. There are a number of other projects that are very worthwhile that haven't been mentioned on this floor in both the rural and the urban areas that were not included in this budget. And it's unfortunate, but it's a reality that we have a certain budget constraint and we have a certain amount of money to work within. I actually appreciate the work that the senator from Fairbanks who put together this budget did, and the manner in which he was being fair as far as the process. And I did not want anyone to think that because I represent a rural area that I felt that my district or other rural districts were being treated unfairly, because I believe quite the contrary. And I don't, I would not suggest that the senator from Ramport was wrong in saying some of the things that got cut out were worthwhile projects, because I happen to agree. There are many worthwhile projects, but it was very clear to everyone that we were going to have a $100 million capital budget, and we had to work within that. I think that's what the majority did. I actually am very pleased with how that process went and the fairness in which which the whole process evolved from it. I too am disappointed that there are things that are left on the table that are not funded right now, but that's a fact that we have to work within the budget plan. And so I just wanted to share my feeling about that process, which is slightly different than the previous speaker.
I'd just like to speak on the same subject, but just a few words, if I may, Mr. President. The capital budget is a very difficult process. Unfortunately, I wasn't here to have the luxury of being able to fund everything everybody wanted back in the 80s, and that would have been fun. But this isn't fun anymore. I guess in answer to the senator from Ramport, I think the concern of many in the majority, as well as myself, is the fact that the federal government is dictating where the majority of our general fund dollars are going by their requirements for match. And that grates on a lot of people, to have the federal government dictate where we must spend our money and how much we must match every dollar they send up to us. That results in us not being able to identify and prioritize the total statewide priorities. It blackmails us, so to speak, and I don't mean that negatively, but I guess the word is incentive is there to maximize federal dollars, and that is what we did in this budget. I know of no federal dollars that required a match that went away. The reduction of federal receipts was items that are still in the capital budget, but was reduced as far as DOT overhead by $10 million that was made available for actual projects. And I realize there is many items out there that we didn't fund, that I would have liked to fund. One only has to look at the DOT budget and see what the Fairbanks area got. But that concerns me greatly, very greatly. Thank you, Mr. President.
Ask unanimous consent the Senate be adjourned until tomorrow at 11 a.m.